Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. The Reverend Robert Zagore is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 11. You may be seated. Pardon me, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and your name will be great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The worst promises are the ones that we make to ourselves. The worst judgment and expectation are those that we hold ourselves to. It isn't because we should be nice and kind to ourselves. It's because that our judgment is always going to be self-centered when we're looking at us. It doesn't matter whether you're trashing yourself or whether you're aggrandizing yourself. You're still wrong, period. You're going to come up with the wrong answers as long as you're asking yourself to be the solution. Apparently, Abraham, as he would later be known, had a great life in Haran. He lived in his father's house, and he was named Father of the Mountain. What a great name! I've often felt a little bit of a kinship to him because my last name, Zagor, literally means mountain. So, that's why I had four kids. We try to find something in the story of Abraham, of Abram, to try to build ourselves into the kingdom. Look at what example we can take from Abraham. He did this, and he went this way, he did this, he went that way. Oh, he failed, I fail every once in a while. He suffered, I suffer once in a while. But you take all the wrong lessons from it, because once again, we try to make promises about how God is going to treat us from our own views, our own promises, our own expectations, our own judgments, rather than understanding who it is that's dealing with us. The big goal of the Christian life is to be called outside of yourself. Outside of your sin, outside of those things which will limit you, if by death, if by nothing else. To look at and behold the glory of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who makes promises that can't be taken away because he never makes a promise he doesn't mean. If we are faithless, the apostle says, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And so he comes to Abram. With absolutely no reason given, by the way. There was nothing in this man that sets him aside, as far as we can tell. It's a very sudden thing. He's just there talking to this guy. And what's the first thing he says to him? We always make it very easy in in our translations, our Sunday school lessons. God's having a casual conversation, maybe sipping a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, having a cigar with Abram. You know, I think I'm going to give you a good gift now, Abram. And you just go off and have some fun, and I'm going to take care of you. No. First words he says, imagine waking up in the middle of the night, or in the middle of the day for that matter, to this. God says, and apparently from the verb form, rather loudly, get out! I just, oh, I'm comfortable here. I've got my father's house. I've got everything that I need. Why are you telling me to leave? Because God's promise for Abram was not in his father's house. At least not that father. It was where he would take him to places that he couldn't understand, couldn't perceive, and serve a God whose name to this point he apparently didn't even know. See, that's really what you mark as you see the story of Abram and Abraham unfolding over the course of these years. At every point, you see what Moses was telling us in the first few verses of Genesis chapter 12. And that's Abraham is gradually being pulled away from looking at nothing but himself, looking at nothing but the people he owned and the things that he had, to looking at the Lord, where all promises and hopes are kept and fulfilled. And to a father's house, which is the greatest of all houses, because it's eternal, transcending heaven and earth. A new heaven and a new earth are still the father's house. Call him to look at a promise which is eternal instead of one which is temporal, which never dies, even though the testator does. That's a story for a couple thousand years from Abraham. You see, as he goes forward, the Lord appears to him by the trees of Marah. He'll do that again. And he makes him a promise. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to give you a nation. Anybody who curses you, I will curse. Anybody who blesses you, I will bless. And I will bless you. Bless, by the way, here means to be given to. I will fill your life with my promises, my hopes, my dreams. And Abram responded appropriately, as far as we know, for the first time in his life. He built an altar to the Lord. Now, some of you are going to say, well, finally, he went to church. That's a good thing. Yes, that's what he should have done. That's how we know everything is going to be all right. Actually, that's not the way. It wasn't that he had gathered with all those people. It's that suddenly he started marking the gifts of God instead of his own. Because that's what that altar was. It was one of the mile markers, one of the road map markers of a man who was leaving all that he could promise himself for what the Lord alone could deliver. An altar to say, in this place, the Lord has made a promise. In this place, the Lord has given a gift. In this place, the Lord has given hope. He would, like us, foolishly turn back on those promises, start relying on himself, not believe the gifts, even yell at the Lord. His wife, no doubt, made it worse on him. Laughing at the Lord as the Lord would once again appear by the great trees of Mamre in chapter 18. or as he made his quiet trip up the hill some 10 chapters from now, with the son of promise who was finally born, now set to be sacrificed. What brings a man from the point where he can only see himself and ultimately ends up dying in himself, in his life, and everything that he has goes away, to becoming an eternal son of God? You see the road marks and the markers in Abraham's life as failure after failure is met with promise after promise, and Abraham building an altar, making a sacrifice, giving a gift to acknowledge that the Lord is at work here, not me. He made the same promises to you. Get out! You're a child of the devil, born in flesh, born to die. We even used to say that in most of the baptismal services as Lutherans. Be gone, evil spirit! You're a child of God now. Sunday after Sunday, and sometimes in between, the Lord comes to us and places and presses the cup of eternal life to our lips. We drink deeply. And the promise is made, and we call upon the name of the Lord, not because he deserves the honor and praise, which he absolutely does, because we mark the place along the road that he's given us, where we're called away from ourselves to real life, eternal life, real gift. Abram's life would end, his wife's life would end. Buried in a cave, now who knows where they are? Certainly, bones don't last that long. But promises do. Because Abraham, is now a child of the same promised resurrection that he had thought to proclaim. That Job, not too far from the time that he lived, not too far from the place that he lived, it said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and in my flesh I shall see him standing on the earth. See, the final place for all the promises of the Lord, Yahweh, the God that Abraham knew and followed and trusted, final promises are all fulfilled in that. Neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation shall separate us from the love of God or his promises. So, children of Abraham, children of the promise, heirs of eternal life, the baptized of God, the multiply redeemed, those who gather here once again to mark that day and that place in our life where the Lord has been at work, and we call upon him in prayer and praise. Thanks be to God for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.